Hey everyone, before we get into it today, if you've ever thought about starting your own podcast or taking your current one to the next level, you have to check out Podigy Podcast. They didn't just help us launch this show, which we need a lot of help with. They made it look and sound amazing with custom artwork, killer music, and they guided us through the launching of the show step by step. Now they handle everything for us, editing, producing, you name it. All we do is hit record and they do the rest. Trust me. If you're serious about podcasting, you need them in your corner. Click the link in the show notes to schedule a free one-on-one podcast game plan session with them. You won't be sorry. Welcome to the Path Podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True Path Consulting, where our mission is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and true success. I want to thank you for pressing play on whatever device you're listening to us on today. It means a lot that you are here. Our hope is that through our stories and interviews, you will find something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious and possibly trigger something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, our goal in this podcast and in our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without needing the motivation of that personal or professional crisis. We'll bring up topics and curate discussions that will help you take action to find out who you are showing up in the roles that are or should be a priority in your life. Ultimately, helping you paint the picture of who you want to be and walking with you to figure out what the heck is getting in your way from becoming your ideal self. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable and instead be more intentional in following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally welcome in my partners that are going on this journey with us. Mr. Stuart Ferguson, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Good. I've got a busy evening tonight. My wife and I have recently been doing a ton of work on our house, and it's mostly landscaping. And behind my house, I think I've talked about doing some construction on here the last couple of times, but I have made a pile of sticks that's probably about, I don't know, a good 6 feet tall that I get to burn tonight while I watch Monday Night Football. So if you I think when I was five, I might have been like borderline pyromaniac. Like I was close. Yeah. If mom would have left that lighter out one more time. So for this, I'm looking forward to a couple hours of just burning sticks.
Nice.
Burning Welcome sticks. Welcome to the path.
Hey, man. Where we burn sticks.
Wow. I can't, buddy.
You get more ridiculous every time.
Can't really do much more to walk in a hello
What do you got, Toby?
Yeah, I don't have any stick burning whatsoever, but I'm excited to be here and looking forward to our conversation. How about you, Chris? That's
look
my
at that.
Check-in.
Wow, that was good. I am too. I'm not burning the sticks. It's raining like crazy here today, so which we need it. And I'm happy that I put my seed and fertilizer on the lawn yesterday. So very good timing. So
great
I have a mission to have a good lawn. And, yeah, it's and hey, this is middle age, baby. This is middle age, right? You worry about how green your lawn is.
Sticks, get a fireplace, and you'll have a hell of a time. Pour yourself a beer, light a cigar. Life could be worse.
All right. Hey, that's all right. Now you're talking about my energy.
I like it.
Well, hey, today we wanted to talk about something interesting, something that we wanted to kind of bring a topic that we always talk about just ourselves, the three of us, and not only just in building this company together, but throughout our relationships together. We've all had one thing in common, one of many things in common, but being dads was something that's always been something that we've strived to do the best we could. And we've helped each other try to do that, right? We were talking beforehand. We're definitely not perfect at it. There's moments that we probably weren't good at it at all. But for the most majority, we've had a ton of intentionality around showing up for our kids in a way that they would be proud of us later on in life. And I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to, they're going to be sitting down with their psychologist and we were too nice or we were there too much for them or we went to too many of their soccer games. That's probably going to be a thing. I don't know, but we've all been super intentional about being good fathers. And I think that's probably why I'm drawn so close to you guys, and that you guys are two of my best friends because we have that similarity. Not only as being good husbands, but fathers is probably the one of the most important things in our lives. So I just want to throw that out to you guys and create some discussion around it. Like, what's that mean to you? Like being a great father, and what's the, you know, intentionality that you put to that? Why does that mean so much to you? Stu, I want to talk to you. Like, why does that mean so much to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the easy route's probably to talk about, you know, that maybe what I didn't feel like I had, you know, growing up, there was, you know, I think certainly I'll share with the podcast community, you know, my parents got divorced at a really young age. And, you know, I lived with my mom who, you know, a single mom trying, working three jobs, trying to make things happen. And so, you know, those were very impactful years watching my mom sacrifice. I, you know, she made every football game she could make, every basketball game, but it was always, you know, maybe she'd show up in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, but I'd see her face. She'd be there before the bell rang. But, you know, it just always looked like all she wanted to do was to parent. All my mom wanted to do was to be there with me. But life, you know, would keep her from it. And so, you know, that was a question I had at a young age. Like, how do you love something so much like your children? And how do you not let them become kind of a backseat to your life? How do they, your responsibilities as a father, how can they, you know, fall behind being the main thing or one of the main things? And, you know, I also didn't have, my dad was not very involved early on, a lot more involved as an adult, but, you know, I always had heard of my father's challenges with his father. I had my own challenges with my father. And there was this trend, and not to be, you know, narcissistic, but there was a big part of me that said that shit stops here. Like, I'm going to be the generation where this dysfunction stops. And
love that.
And so there was a big part of me that took that on, Chris, in a lot of ways, in a very unhealthy way. There's also an incredibly judgmental part of that was incredibly unfair for my father, or even for myself, of what was realistic on how to be a good dad. So yeah, this topic, no lack of content for this one. Tobe, how about you?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, you know, it's, you guys know our journeys, like being a father wasn't guaranteed for me and Kath being a mother to the kids that we have, because we had to go kind of the alternative route, you know, the in vitro babies. And we didn't know for sure that we'd ever be. And when that happened, and it happened more than once, you know, and the three boys that we now are very blessed to have, purpose, you know, I think that word always is synonymous with, I know when we, the three of us are talking, it really, not that you can't have purpose without having kids. I want to be very, very clear on that. Cause I think sometimes people throw that whole, you know, you can't be whole unless you have children. But for me, and I can just speak it only for me, it really, really gave me purpose. And it was a little of that, Stu, that you'd referenced too, of like wanting to do better than what was done for me, and said in a way of like, you know, I think that's our obligation, because I would expect our boys to do better than I did. And in some ways it's going to be easy. And then in some other ways, I think it'll be hard. Like I'm proud to say that, like But the purpose of how you want to show up and being really intentional with it is the area that I think that the men that I've worked with and been around for a long time in my life, I just think we lose sight of that. What are your intentions? You know, I think that, you know, just showing up as the dad and just showing up as a person, if you are the majority breadwinner or not, maybe you're in a family that both parents are working, but that the security and providing security is the one and only. And, you know, again, if that's your intention, so be it. But I'd be pushing, you know, those fathers of, is that, you know, when you talked about being the best dad you ever wanted to be, was that it? And and I think lacking intentions and then lacking consistent focus on that. And no one's ever perfect, and no one will do it every time, right? And Chris, to your point, my kids will be in some session or some therapy appointment talking about, you know, what I didn't get enough of and the travel that I've done in my life and the times I've missed a lot of things in their lives. And so I just think it's that's what comes up is purpose and intention. Those two words seem to ring true with me when it comes to being a dad. It's the most important role of my life, bar none. And, you know, thankfully, and touch wood, you know, I know tomorrow's not promised, but I've still got time to make up for areas I should and continue to grow in areas that I'm really feeling good about. But it's been wonderful, wonderful ride so far.
Love it, man. Yeah, I can feel the passion from both you guys and just the sincerity and authenticity. And I know it too, right? Because I know your families very well. And I'm not much different. You know, I'm a little bit of wanting to create a better path for them. Most importantly, though, I just wanted a relationship with them. Like, I just wanted a genuine, deep relationship with my kids, you know, and an authentic, pure, like, hey, dad, I can come to you if I'm struggling. Cause I, you know, my parents were two working parents. Like, we had, you know, dinner was the menu was on a piece of paper on the stove magnet. And, you know, Kara had to do the corn and Chris had to do the meatloaf and Scott had to do the potatoes and Matt had to set the table, you know, and it was like, and it had to be ready on the table for when they got home because we had a million different places to go. We had four kids, mixed family, four kids. So it was a lot of survival back then. And the older I get, the more my parents would always say, hey, we did the best we could. Like, we really did. We really did the best we could. And some of the stuff that they had to go through was like, do we give the kids? I mean, they tell us a story. Dad tells us a story when they were driving back from vacation, like camping one time when all of us were in the back and they had like barely enough gas to get home. And it was like, do we get gas or do we get Frosties for the kids? Like, because we wanted to end the vacation on it and they got Frosties and I think we made it home. With gas, I'm not sure, but like it, they just grew up and had to deal with a lot of different stuff than I've had to deal with, right? And they've positioned me. My dad specifically has made choices in his life to move out of the situation he was in to start a new family and to put me in a situation to be able to go to Penn State and graduate from a degree, you know, degree. And he showed me all these things, but you know, it wasn't until later in life that I had a real deep relationship with my father to where I could tell him everything, to where I could actually had a relationship with him. It wasn't until later in life, probably, I remember the moment was college and he met Joy for the first time and we drank a beer, an underage beer with him, which was kind of fun, a Yingling pounder. And I just remember that moment like it was yesterday because it was such a like, man, I'm drinking a beer with my dad. And it was so powerful. And I wanted to keep that. Not like I wanted to drink a beer with my kids when they were, you know, young, but like I want that feeling of having a relationship with my dad. And, I wanted to have that with my kids, man. And that was my number one thing. I just wanted to be there for them. I wanted to teach them how to be gentlemen. You know, I have three boys. I wanted to teach them how to respect their mom and the people that they come into contact with. And but most importantly, I wanted to have a relationship with them. And I've been able to do that. I feel like, you know, my relationship with my kids is just, probably the most important thing to me. It's awesome. I got one in college now and to see the relationships evolve too. And I'm interested to this from you guys. Now that I got one in college. Stu, you and I talked about this the other day, having them in different aspects of their life and what your relationship is with them now, what fatherhood means for you now is so much different than it meant to me when I was trying to build a career and do stuff and change diapers and do all the other stuff. And, but that relationship for me and just the depth and having that authentic relationship with my boys was just everything to me. And that's, that'll carry on for me until I'm long gone. But I'm curious for you guys, like, what does it mean to you now, Stu, in this age where your girls are a little older, and what's it mean to you now?
I think you nailed it. I think it's, to me, I measure a lot on communication, right? And how the depth of those interactions. You know, I have two daughters. So I know you guys are navigating the boy aspect. I got the girl aspect. And what's interesting mm-hmm. about that is, you know, my wife plays a very significant role in the girls' lives for obvious reason, is highly involved. And, you know, the first call around the ugly stuff doesn't tend to come to me. It goes to Shelley, right? Boyfriends, you know, financial challenges, what have you. There's a closeness. And I picked up on that a few years ago, right? That there was a weird dynamic that was changing, where before it was Shelley and I as a parent duo, kind of leading the girls and parenting the girls together. But at a certain age, right around middle school, the conversation started to be a much more girl-centric dialogue. And so I found myself in this weird spot where, at a pivotal point in my career, where my career is, you know, firing on all cylinders, it would have been very easy for me to take a back seat. It would have been very easy for me to say, at this period of time, I am not, you know, nearly as impactful as my wife. So I'll take some plays off, or I'll. And thankfully I had Dr. Currier, who we've spoken to a couple of times, say to me, I think that's a moment for you to lean in, Stuart, not lean out. I brought this up in a session and he said, that's actually a time for you to get more involved and to be more curious and to break down some of those paradigms of father daughter around some of these topics. And I've got some really funny stories with daughters where I tried to broach very female-esque topics that didn't go so well.
But that's not what he meant.
That's not what, well, I thought that's what he meant, but it wasn't. I'll give you a funny one if you want in a minute. But my point to all that is, for the fathers out there that have daughters, and this topic is a lot about father, son, certainly our relationship with our dads, what have you. But I would just say there's probably a lot of stereotypes, and there are a lot of topics that a dad can say, I don't need to be involved with that. And I would just encourage you that whatever your daughters are going through is absolutely something that your two cents will add value to. Being involved and being engaged and building that trust, I see a lot of dads separate from those daughters. And I would say, absolutely not. Lean all the way in with them. And what I've gotten from that is I have a 25-year-old that just turned 25, and I have a 21-year-old. The conversations that I have with them at this age are the ones I dreamt about when they were 10 and 11. The comfort to talk about the ugly things, the hard things, all those foundations are in place. And so now at 25 and at 21, dad has the opportunity to be somebody other than just dad. I can be a friend. I can be a mentor. I can be so many other things because we have the foundation of trust and communication, much like you were just talking about, Chris, with building with your boys. Yeah. And Toby, I know that you do. I just want to stress that regardless of whether you have daughters or sons, this conversation's appropriate for everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. Stu, that's awesome. You know, and I love what Doc said to you. And I, before I get to kind of my answer to that question, Chris, I think opting in is really what I just want to encourage us dads to start doing more of. I think so many times I've heard over this many, many years I've worked with and I'm very fortunate to get to know people at a deep, deep level. And just to hear so many times where we just, outsource the men, the fathers outsourced a lot of the emotional, vulnerable, those types of levels of conversations to the partner in the relationship. And typically the mom is the stories that I've heard. And because they're more emotional or because they can handle it. And it's very sad. And I think the positive I'll take from it is that those are things that I put in here all the time of like, I got to do better than that. Yeah. And in my journey, I didn't have that. I had an emotional father, but not emotions on all the aspects of that. So I knew what anger looked like, but I didn't know what a lot of the other ones did as far as emotions go. And, you know, and it'd be very easy for me to just follow suit. Anger is usually the one that most men are, you know, approved of showing, because that's stereotypical, that masculinity side of the house. And not to go down this road of emotions, but like, to me, the answer to your question, Chris, is safe. That's the word for me. This relationship with our boys at the ages they are, 20 and 17, I just want them to feel safe. And so the thing about safety for me, though, and love, I mean, love is there, so I don't want to throw love out of there, but that know I love you. You're safe, though, with me. And that's what I want more than anything for them. But the component that's necessary, and it gets to the point that I just made, I have to then make sure that vulnerability and emotionality are okay. Because it won't be safe if that's not, you know, you can't have a safe environment that isn't emotionally expressive. You can't have a safe environment. You can't really cry. You can't really feel. And you can't really tell people, you know, you can't tell you, I love you. But more than that, why I love you. And, you know, so for me, that's my journey with this, is that I just want them to always know that if you really, really screwed up, or if you did something, you know, I'm not going to like, or we aren't going to like, it's safe to tell us the truth in that. And that you're safe with me, that we'll work it through. It doesn't mean that you won't be accountable and there won't be consequence. I mean, that's not going to be, this isn't a get out of jail for free. There will be, and some, you know, but what I want them to always know, that no matter where they are in this world at any time, in any moment, they're safe to make that phone call or ask for me, or, and I want to be there for them and show up that way. And I, you know, and that's what's most important. And that's where I'm at in this relationship with them. And that's what I'm going to keep trying to do. But I have to be a big piece to that, because if I'm not proactively vulnerable and open and honest with them, it doesn't matter how much I say I want them to feel safe with me. They never will be unless I actually can show that with them.
Well, I love that, man. Yeah. What's the hardest part about being a dad for you guys?
Well, mine real quick, Stu, while you're loading real quick, is not showing up in all these versions I know better not to. Like, that's hard for me, because I go into an immediate response of, I'm quick to react. And as much as I'm in this business to tell people and help people slow down and take slow their time, yeah. Boy, can I get, you know, like we all do, we've got our triggers and this, that, and the other. And as much as I'm aware of most of my triggers, it doesn't mean that I still have done the best job of, you know, I say regrettable things still to this day that I'm like, gosh, I wish I could take that back and replay that, because I know better. So one of the things that hard for me is to not repeat some of the things that I know don't feel good on the back end of being a son to my dad. And yet I show up like that. Now, the good thing is that Kath, she doesn't need to say it anymore. She just looks at me, and that's the nod of, you're being just like your father. And
so we can love hearing that.
Yeah, we can love that. Yeah, but it's happened. So that's mine.
Hey, real quick on that, Toby, before you go, Sue, do the boys make fun of you when you show up as them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They, I mean, the problem, the version that I show up as, is not, that's not a time for joking, because everybody kind of clears the room. The where I grew up, plates were flying and everything was direct. And yeah, right. So it's kind of, but once this dust settles and I do exactly what my dad did and apologize for why I just said that, which I'm glad he did. But when I'm going down that that walk, I'm sorry that your dad just showed up that way. Then they give me the business. You're just like grandpa. You're just, you know, so that happens. We do laugh about it, but it's never in the moment.
I think I created such a safe environment for my kids. Like, I'll be yelling at them and they're trying not to laugh, like literally trying not to laugh. And I'm like, and then it gets me more mad, but like, I can't, but it also like diffuses me, because they know I don't mean, you know, and they're really good kids. I can't tell you the last time I like had to like really lose my shit on them, you know. And but now that they make fun of me about it, it's like, it's just, it makes me easy to just surrender again to just the fact that, like, all right, dude, like, just get through this moment of you being a little pissy or whatever. They're your mom, like, Joy's laughing at you, everybody's laughing at you, like, just get over it. But anyways, dude, what's your hardest part about being a dad right now?
It's a really tough question, because, and I'll give you my answer, and I think it'll make sense. I think the hardest part about being a father is when you realize that you are only as happy as your saddest child. Hmm. So, you know, when my daughters go through life, I go through life. And right. As a 52-year-old, and wanting to dump all of this beautiful wisdom of 52 years on this planet, you know, there's a harsh reality that I or we as dads can solve a lot of problems. That's not always the right thing to do. And I think at this age with 25-year-old and a 21-year-old, realizing that I have adults at this point that are making decisions, that are living with the decisions that they're making for themselves, and to allow that as a parent, to allow those moments of failure, tripping, falling, even though you know how it's all going to play out, but changing the focus from being a compass to being a safety net in a lot of ways, right? I think the vast majority of my life, I've tried to be a compass for them, but realizing at this age, I just need to catch them if they fall. Because more often than not, they're going to be just fine. And so, you know, I don't have the child rearing years where I'm trying to develop them into these wonderful humans. Like Shelley, my wife and I have, I think, done a really good job of that. Now we're at this point of helping in whatever way possible to let them live a fulfilled life, an ideal life. And so going back to your point, Toby, about safety, like that's a big component of what does safety look like to a 25-year-old? I know what it looks like to a 14-year-old. I know what it looks like to a 16-year-old, but a 25-year-old, they're not necessarily looking for mom and dad to solve their problems. And so, but yet they want you to be a part of them. And so walking that fine line of being a great listener and being dad, and that's where I screw up, is I become dad and create solutions in moments where I should just be a really good listener. And those are the tensions that I tend to create.
How about you, Wes?
Love that, man. Yeah. Just being where my feet are still is always going to be something that I've really had to concentrate on. And, you know, just really not letting my emotions in a situation overshadow kind of being present. I did a funny Friday groundedness thing, and I was going to Virginia Tech to see, you know, and I was so excited about it. And I literally have to prepare myself for this one because I get so excited to see them. And then I'm like, next thing I know, it's like, well, we didn't really like talk, and I didn't really even check in on you because we were so caught up in the emotion of the visit and kind of doing things and just getting shit done and blah, blah, blah. And I just never really got a chance to just sit down with you and tell you I love you and that I'm proud of you or that I got to hug you and then I'm not going to see you for another 3, 4, 5 weeks, months, whatever it may be. And just making really being intentional about making the best of that moment. And even with the two that I have here at home, like it's super sad for me knowing like Parker's leaving this year. Like I might even get emotional talking about it, because I know what that did to me when Aiden left. And a big part of me left with him, and he's doing great and I love it, and he's happy and he's just kicking ass in life. So it's awesome. But just like knowing that he's not going to be here at this time next year. I mean, he's going to be off at school somewhere, and that's going to just take a piece of my heart with me. You guys, you know that, Toby, you know that Jack kind of going away when he was away. And it's just, I'm trying to just be, even with building the business and everything that we have going on in our life, I'm just trying to be present, and I'm not always great at it. It's definitely the hardest thing for me to do because life moves so fast. And then with Tan's my, you know, the third, they always talk about the third, and it's like, do they get any attention? And it's like, that's why I try to reframe and refocus my attention towards how much time I get to spend with Tanner, you know, and we still have 3, 4 more years with just him at home with Joy and I. And I'm just so excited about that time with him and being present. And I love this time I am with my life. And then I love how my role with Aiden, how he'll be in the workforce, how all that's going to change and evolve. But it's just being where my feet are, man. And when I do get time with them, I think one of you guys showed me that graph when you're 18, you spend what is it? 75%, 80% of your life. Is that what it is?
Yep.
And then
like after 25, you see them for like a quarter of their life at the end.
Yeah. So we're living that now with a couple of them, you know, and it's just trying to spend the time that I do get with them, like really, yeah, spend it with them, you know, and be present with them. So that's the hardest part. And I'm trying to do the best I can with it and being super intentional. But then dummy, you know, we go down to Virginia Tech and he goes out Thursday night, goes to some bar, whatever. And he's got this like lump on his face and he said he fell. I don't know what happened, but like we go down there with all this energy. I got Parker and Tanner with me. Who knows if he got a fight? I don't know. I almost wish he got a fight. He says he fell on his face and I'm like, dude. So it just kind of created a little bit of a, like, you know, mom was wondering, all worried about him now and all this other. Then it kind of changed the dynamic of the trip and I had to reel it back in real quick because I was so excited to get this time with him. But it's just funny the stupid shit they do too, right? That kind of takes you off course from being present and being where your feet are. It's just hard, man. It's hard kind of juggling everything. So I just try my best to be where my feet are, but that's definitely still the hardest thing for me.
Chris, that's an important part. I want to lean in on that for a minute. And it's an aha parenting that I bumped into a couple of times, but I didn't learn it nearly as quick as it sounds like you may have. And that is at that point when as parents, we controlled the tone of the world that we were raising our kids in to a large extent, you know, and then they leave and they go to the outside world and they're stretching and trying to become their own person, right? And I can't tell you how many times that my relationship with my daughters, you know, was strained because I was entering in at one level and they were entering in at a different. My expectations were this. And as we got older, you know, my thought is we've always done it this way. Why would I, you know, if we come out, we're going to dinner and it's just us and we're a close family. And who are these fucking roommates now that I've got in your team? Right, Charleston just to be with you. And it's like those moments where the communication just isn't there. Those are those moments that I was talking about letting life happen and realizing for me, a lot of ways is I've had the luxury of control as a parent. And because I've been so involved, right? All three of us have been so involved with our kids. We have great perspective and we have control. And as they start to leave, we lose perspective and we lose some of that control. And how that relationship starts to play is really interesting. And so I've shared with you, my youngest daughter's a senior in college at College of Charleston. And she came to us with a plan last year that she was able to graduate early, but she wanted to extend her senior year and she was going to get an internship and all this stuff. Well, how do you think that played out? Well, it played out that there was no internship and I've got a wonderful daughter at 21 living in Charleston, South Carolina with 2 hours a week of class and a lot of time to do whatever she wants. And so
she is brilliant. Sophie's brilliant.
She worked really well until the money train got cut off. And then it wasn't so brilliant, right? Now we got to find a job. I use this as an example because I think a lot of dads will enter into this. You guys will be there. What did I start doing? I started reaching out to all my connections, trying to figure out how to get my daughter solve this problem for her. And I was striking out. I wasn't able to make a connection. Well, 5 minutes before we get on this, I got confirmation that my beautiful daughter, who gambled big time and winged it, secured a paying internship with a large commercial real estate company all on her own. I tell that because it's 2 weeks ago, I was losing sleep and trying to solve her problem. I never once gave her the credibility that she deserved, which was she can solve her own problem. She knew what she needed to do. And so these validations of like growth are just to allow them to happen is what I'm reminding myself in this conversation, that these kids are a hell of a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. And that we did a good job. We did a good job as parents. We just need to give them a chance to prove it to us.
Well, we did the best job we could, right?
Like we did the best we could.
I mean, really, you know?
I think that's really well said. Really well said.
I've got a question for you guys, because we've talked a lot about our talents as a parent and as a father. You know, I've had a well-documented, you know, unique relationship with my dad for a long time. And I'm also really proud to share that there's been a lot of progress on that relationship and that friendship. And I'm fortunate. And I think, Toby, I don't think I've ever told you this, but I think no better time than a podcast. Your direct conversation with me about your relationship with your dad and time and how important time was is this one of the single biggest reasons I have a much more healthy and productive relationship with my father, because I understand the concept of time. That's and awesome. I understand the importance of it. So I'm just curious, as sons with unique fathers that did the best that they could, can we all say that? They gave us their best version, or at least that's how I'm going to go to bed at night remembering it. How do we navigate that as 50-year-old men, late 40s, 50-year-old men? Our parents are either unfortunately passed, or they're at an age where life's starting to become real challenging for them. How do we show up as great sons? Is, I guess, my question or my thought. What have we done to be better versions of ourselves as sons as we have as dads?
Chris, you want that one?
I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, one is not try to change him. I try to do that a million times, and my dad's my dad, and just, you know, don't try to change him and accept him for who he is and accept the time that I have with him. And Tobe's helped me with that too. And, you know, Jesse Isler puts out this thing. He has a great post that just breaks down how many summers you're going to have left with him, right? And it's an exercise I have a lot of my coaching partnerships go through. It's just, all right, people in your life, but you know, let's say you're going to live to 85, whatever. How old are they now? And how many times do you see them a year? Oh, I see him, you know, two times a year. And you start to break it down, it's like, holy shit, I'm gonna see my dad like 18 more times in life, like 18 more times. And when you start to bring that time quotient into it, it just allows you to really show up and be intentional about the time that you do have with them. So that helped me out a ton. But it's just really just being, I've got to see my dad kind of, I think, live the life that he wanted to as a dad to my kids, like to be the dad. Like everybody loves Pa, you know, everybody loves him. And to keep giving him those moments, in those moments with me and him, and from golf trips, he still golfs, and we go on golf trips every year, and he comes out here. He plays with me over at my place that I play all the time. And it's so much fun to have that time with him. But most importantly, the time that he gets to spend with my boys is just like the best thing in the world. And to just keep giving him that gift and finding moments to just get them out there, get him here or whatever. That's the number one thing I'm trying to do. Is I have an aging parent and I'm getting a little older, to take advantage of the time I have left with them.
It's huge. Tom, how about you?
I just think, I mean, you guys know my dad passed, what, 3-4 years ago now. And I know just, you know, as a son, I've still got my mom, and I think just making sure you're clean with their impact on you. And I don't think you could do it enough. You know, it's not a one and done, writing a letter, this, that, and the other, but I just didn't get, you know, I just even had that this weekend. You guys know I went away with some buddies and we were talking about their parents and some of the stuff that they're going through with them and some conflict and friction they're having. And I'm just like, hey, but do they know their impact on you? And again, it's not all positive, by the way. There's some heaviness to it, but are you clean with what they need to know? Because, you know, again, Stu, I really appreciate that. I didn't know that. So that it means a lot, tons to me, that in any way my journey impacted your journey. But we got to just, you know, get clean with those that matter most to you. And then in this specific topic, you know, being a son, I need my mom to know the difference she's made in my life and continues to do. And I still talk to my dad. So I would encourage also those that have since passed, don't stop talking to them. You know, I still am trying to make right by some things that, you know, I feel like I said a lot, but I don't know if I said it all. And, you know, just making sure that I catch up with those and keep getting clean with what the real truth is about their impact on me and my life. And most of all that I got to tell my dad is nothing but positives at this stage of the game, because he doesn't need to know anything that, you know, I wish I would have said, hey, you wish you would have done this different. But that's what I would suggest. Yeah, without question. Yeah. Is the son I'm trying to be is just one that's real clean with my truth.
It's huge. I you know, I got to the point with my dad where we've crossed over the clarity line, like we're all clear on what has transpired in the past. And you know, he desperately wanted to move on to a new relationship. And I'm the one that held us back into the old one. You know, I wasn't ready to forgive or forget, really, either one of them. I was still, there was a part of me for a long period of time that that needed to hold a position of power emotionally at some level. And I think, you know, to a large extent, that was the strategy. That was the focus with my dad and my relationship. It was always, how do I maintain control? Because I felt so out of control for so many years prior to that. And so what's happening now is I've gotten older. I've made mistakes. I have made flaws on how I've wanted to show up as a father, and I understand how mistakes can happen. And so I've become a lot more empathetic, and I've become a lot more compassionate to how my dad found himself where he did. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was right or wrong, but I understand how someone can love something like their son so much, but yet show up so dysfunctionally. I get it. I also can give him credit for the work and the effort that he has put in over the last 20 years to try to maintain a relationship with his son when his son didn't want it, when his son was pushing away. He didn't quit. He didn't leave. He didn't give up. And so there's this part of me that in one breath, I'm so angry about some of these things that happened at a really young age. And yet I'm so admired. You know, I admire my father for his commitment to me, you know, his want to have this relationship. And so there's this really cool moment, and I hope more people can experience it, where I'm no longer trying to, you know, right the wrongs of the past. I'm no longer trying to bury hatchets. I'm no longer trying to prove points. I've really gotten to this point where I'm just appreciating the fact that I have a man in my life, that is my father, who wants to be in my life, who's actively trying to be in my life, and worrying less about judging how he's showing up in my life, but just being grateful that he's here. That's where I'm at 52. And, you know, a father that's got some health challenges and some other, I just appreciate the time I have with him more so than I ever have.
That's so awesome, man. Yeah, look at you, dude.
I mean, I get emotional about it because I never thought I'd get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I never,
we know how much work you put. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
You put a lot of work into that, man.
Yes, you did. And do.
Good.
Thank you.
That's big, buddy.
Good for you, brother. Good for you. Yeah, there's not a better gift than being a dad out there, I don't think. So, and it's funny, Stu, you talk about the, you know, Joy and I talk about our parents all the time. I think we all do, right? All our age group do. And the grandparents show up to soccer games, or they do this, or they do that. And they don't always show up the way you want them to.
Right.
And there's so much focus on that versus like just no, Gary V, right? He says, you want to live a really happy life? No expectations.
Zero expectations.
Zero expectations. So we have a mindset, zero expectations. Just meet them where they are, whatever time they give you and whatever they show up, just love them and treat them. And it's been awesome. You know, it's just a different perspective. But yeah, man, that growing older and living life and having, earning and learning that empathy is just such a huge component of it, man. Nice. Well said.
You know, I think it came to that conclusion of early on somebody saying to me, well, what's your other dad look like? Like, well, what do you mean? I don't have another dad. Oh, you only have one? All right. So are you going to just throw that one away and hope to get another one? And be like, nah, I don't think I want to throw that one. Right. So you got one dad. Make a run at it. Define the relationship that is productive for both of you, but have a relationship. That was
so good.
So it's been a labor of love, but I think that, you know, a lot of the men I talk to that are out there that have a challenge with their father, and there tends to be a common theme there. I just encourage you to get curious on where that came from. Do some of the work on yourself, but also realize, especially if he's trying to be a part of your life, just let him in. Just give him a shot. I need to trust the fact that a 52-year-old was much more equipped than an 8-year-old to handle that relationship as we move forward.
Hmm. Well said.
Nice job. Thanks. Hey, last question. Yeah, you got it, man. Last question. You know, when I look back at being a dad, and kind of the hardest part about being a dad was the, you know, building my career, traveling, my own insecurities through my late 20s, early 30s, having the pressure of the world, being the breadwinner, all these things, right? And then having these kids and not knowing what the hell to do with them and what role I play, or, you know, and just all that crazy, like, it's just crazy. That's whenever you have in that 20s to 30s and raising these kids, and some a lot older now, whatever. But what's your advice to that dad out there that's just working his ass off, trying to do it, stressed out beyond belief? Like, what's your advice to them around being a dad or a father?
Well, I'll take a stab at that. I ask people a lot about, like, you know, that love language book. I think some of us, I can't remember who wrote that thing, but
yeah. I think all of
we all receive love in a different way, right? And just because it worked for you might not be what your kids need. A lot of men show love through doing things, buying the gift, taking them on the trips, this, that, and the other. I'm not saying that's not how your kids might receive love. They might appreciate it, but I just think whenever in doubt, just go with the best present you could ever give them, which is your heart, and give them that. Give them what really truly is inside, because that's really what, you know, that's all that kids ever want, really, is your time. And as much as we're running around doing everything we can and making it right in our own heads that we have to do this, or this is what everybody wants, or they want us to do this, that, and the other, my kids would say, if I had them lined up here today, we could have foregone a lot of the things that you gave us, or the things even that we kind of, some of the things that we did. It really was just more important to have the time with you. And so again, it doesn't mean to have to, you know, if you don't have a ton of it, then just make sure to, Chris, to your point about being present, just make sure that you're there when you are there. But that's my advice, is that, you know, and again, it's not going to be a newsflash to most people, and they'll rationalize why they got to be busy with life and run around and do all these things. But we only get one shot at this thing, and this life thing. And we also get, you know, one shot at this being the best dad we could possibly be. And just don't forget to lead with that heart of yours and give them as much time as you can and be there for them.
Love it.
It's really good. The Chris, the only advice I would offer is, this might land the wrong way, I do believe you can have it all. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a period of my early career where I was incredibly intentional about this topic around my kids and my wife, even at the most stressful kind of pinnacle of my career. But I understood that there was going to be sacrifice that I was going to have to take on to be that. And so I didn't miss a lot of events. I didn't miss, but where I screwed up was, and I think you said it, Tobe, was I showed up to the events, but was I there emotionally? Was I physically, I was there, but was I connecting at that deeper level with my kids? And so, you know, I think I wish there was a simple answer to how to survive in today's kind of, you know, the environment of today's world in business, working remote, all of these things that are going on. And I think people get fooled between high levels of success and being a great father and thinking that those things are going to be easy, and they're not. And so it comes back to intentionality. It comes back to if I want to spend time with my children, then I need to make sure that I'm doing the things necessary to free me up to be able to do those things. And when I'm 20 or 30 and I'm climbing my career and I've got tons of pressure on me, that's where it's less about work-life balance and more about work efficiency and how are we spending time on the right things? Are we delegating appropriately? All of those topics. But my point is that you can have both. You can be a very engaged father. My kids have never said ever, and I would love to have them on this podcast, my dad was absent. I was never absent. Even when I traveled 40 weeks out of the year, I would call, I would video call, I was engaged. The difference is the depth. And I think if I were to go back in time and if I were to give anybody advice, is you know, some people want to complain about the hours at a job or all of this. Look, there's 24 hours in a day. How well do we spend that time with our family when we get home? Are we depleted? Are we disengaged? Those are the conversations that I think we want to have. But I do believe that the quality of time with our kids is the single most important thing that builds upon 25 and 21 year olds. My kids knew me at 10 and 12. They didn't just meet me at 21 and 25. Our relationship had been found on honesty, had been founded on transparency and allowing ourselves to have those hard conversations at a young age. But again, I did those in the hours that were appropriate and delegated to my family. I wasn't sitting on the couch with a beer watching the game, let my wife deal with the kids in the kitchen. I got up and was in the kitchen. And so it's about being intentional and realizing that it's hard raising children. It's hard having a healthy marriage. It's hard building a top performing career. All of this is hard.
Yeah.
But it's important. And when things are important, we tend to overcome the hard. And right now, I think there's a lot of people that are asking for their cake and eat it too. Hey, I want this to be easy and I want that to be easy. And look, 27, 28 year marriage is hard. There are times where we both have said enough's enough. And then there's something that brings us back together. It's same thing with kids, same thing with friends, same thing with careers. Things get challenging. It's how does that nucleus come together and navigate these challenging moments? And that as a father, you know, I feel like I've always been accessible. I haven't always had the best depth, but I've always been accessible. Hmm.
Well said, both of you guys. Yeah, I wouldn't say too much different. I mean, I think I'm with you, Stu. I think you can have it all. And, you know, one of the things I did well, I traveled a lot throughout my career, and that put a lot of guilt on me because I didn't feel like I was there. But we had a great partnership with my wife where she was at home, and her relationship with my boys is just awesome. Right. And it's special and it's unique. And Aiden calls her still, like when he's walking back from class, like we play different roles. Right. And I love that. But that was hard on me. I'm not going to lie. As a dad, sure, being away was super hard. But what it showed me, and it goes back to your comment about not taking away their adversity, is like they saw what it takes to be successful in this life. They saw what it takes to work hard and still be a dad. Like they saw that. And even today, anything they do, they work their ass off on it, man. Like I don't have to tell them to work hard. I've never had to tell them to work hard in their studies. I've never had to tell them to work hard in their jobs, nothing. They go at it, whether it's sports, anything, they go at it and they're all in. And I think that has a lot to do with how we raise them. Like we always communicate on why dad has to travel, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to build as a family. So they were involved in the conversations with that. And then one of the most important things, and this is probably the advice I'd give, show up when you need to. Like you need to be there when you need to be there. And that's being very self-aware, but it's also being very aware of what the family needs and what your kids need and what your wife needs. And having a pulse on that is so important. And I think if you do that, you can be away. You can live a flourish career, a great career. I have a client that is around our age. It's like, dude, I listened to your Friday, you know, grounding sessions, and they resonate with me, right? Like I'm almost in my 50, you know, I'm looking at the kind of the backside of the hill, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I talked to some of my people who are in their 20s and 30s and they all want to be grounded. They want to be doing all this stuff. And I'm like, get to work, dude. You guys got to get to work. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry if I created a like I'm with you. Like those guys need to get to work. Like I think you do. There's a moment where you just need to go and work and show up when you're supposed to and be present when you have that moment. And I think there's just way too many distractions. If I'd replay the tape, I mean, I just let a lot of things distract me as a dad, you know, whether it was the recognition I was getting from a happy hour and I would be there for too long, you know, or the dinner, the 3 hour, 4 hour dinners we used to have to go and I'd miss the call home, like things like that, that I wish I had. And I didn't do it regularly, but I still wish I would have done it. And I wish I was at the moments that I really needed to be at, but, really good stuff. Really good stuff. Any last comments from you guys before we close up?
Not for me. I think you guys both nailed it. And I love also how you both, you know, put your heart into this call, and not this call, but this podcast, because I know you guys, and I'm glad that everyone else can feel how much you love your kids. And I know you guys do, and it's awesome. Like, to me, let's not overcomplicate this.
Hey, the only thing I would add to this to close it up is, you said at the beginning, Chris, I just want to highlight it. It's a lot easier to be an active father when you're surrounded by other active fathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, my community, the circle, hasn't always been that. You know, it's been people that maybe saw parenting as the way that they had experienced it. But having good men that around you that prioritize the health of their marriage and the health of their children and the relationship, I'm just so drawn to other people that are striving for that balance and that curiosity and how to continue to evolve there. And I have people in my life that do not have, they wouldn't want to listen to this podcast. They wouldn't want to necessarily participate. Maybe they want to, but maybe they lack some of the skill or some of the depth to be able to do the work. But I'm just telling you, I have very few people in my life that don't impact this topic positively more often than not. Whether it's, hey, build a better rapport with your mom and your dad while they're here, you know, push me in that direction, or push me into prioritizing the intention behind me as a father and me as a husband. And we could probably have a whole podcast about intention, but when we don't choose intention, we're choosing hope. And I think we've heard this a million times. Hope is a terrible long-term strategy, right? Intentionality towards the things that matter to you most is really at the core of a lot of our happiness, is knowing it and then acting on it. And this is a great podcast. I'm glad we brought this topic up. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Well, hey, I could talk to you guys for hours about this. And Tobe, that goes for you too, bud. We know, I mean, you gave Stu and I some props, but you know, you have a lot going on with the kids and how much you love them and what a great role model you're being, and changing that dynamic from what you grew up with, man. So it's inspiring to be around you guys. So I appreciate you. So, well, hey, thank you for joining us on the path today. Remember, every journey is unique and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring, stay curious, and give yourself grace as you forge your path. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path. Have a great day.